front because we're going to share $1 million with you. Wait a minute. No, $1 million. I think more likely $1 million words.
A million words.
Really? You're an incredible young man. Church, we got a classroom for all these children to go back to, take a hold of the Word of God, take a hold of Jesus, understand something in a way that they'll grasp. They're just bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, jacked up on caffeine and donuts, and what a better time to send them back to those classrooms, right? So let's us pray for these children, for those classrooms, for those teachers, that they might just enter into and grasp what God has for them today. So all us cowboys, let's pull our hats off, and everybody, let's bow our head and close our eyes so we can focus on Jesus while we pray. Lord Jesus, thank you because you're God, because you've come for us. And so, Lord, it's our prayer that these children would go to that classroom and understand that in a real and a living way today. They would change and transform and bring them in to be the young men and young women that you've called them to be. We thank you for this church, those teachers, just the opportunity that we have to share with them. And it's in your Son's name, on the very authority of Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. Now, you can do anything you want, dear. Yeah. She's cool with it. She was literally going to make the whole trip by herself. She had that. But she was pretty casual about that. She said, all right. Listen, you guys have all, you know, we meet on a Sunday because we want to come together, know each other, visit with each other, see each other. And we do that. We do that when we get here. We do that all this time. And today, on our second Sunday, we're going to do that over lunch. We're going to do that so we can just sit around, we can visit, we can talk. We got enough food back there to feed us and then some. So stay. Just stay. Just stay and eat with us and just enjoy this time together. Nobody's required to bring any food. The point of this is so that we can visit. We can just be together and talk about what's going on in our lives. I've made it a promise to God that I'm going to quit squealing about the rain. I'm not going to quit squealing about the mud, but I am going to quit squealing about the rain. And so you and I, we could sit around together at lunch and hate the mud. Share that with me, will you? I got to get going. So this morning, I don't know if you remember, last week we were talking about a verse in Matthew chapter 21. There it is. Jesus is telling a parable. We kind of set that thing up. And in Matthew chapter 21, it's called the parable of these two boys. And so I'm just going to trot through that kind of quick so you kind of get caught up. But so Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, but all of us are listening to him. And he says, hey, boys, what do you think? There was a father that had two boys, and he told the one, he said, go on out to the vineyard and go to work. Saddle up your horse and go to work. And the boy said, oh, I ain't going to do that today. I got something else going on. And then later on, he decided he'd go on and do it. But old dad went to the other boy, and he told him the same thing. He said, head on out there and go to work. And that boy said, sure enough, I'm on my way. Be there in a minute. And he never, ever went. And then Jesus asked those guys, he said, which one of those two boys do you think did the right thing? Which one of those two boys do you think was obedient? And they said, oh, it was the first one that said, I ain't going to go, but then later on decided, man, it'd be better if I go. And Jesus told him, he said, listen, you guys are missing the whole thing. Everybody in the world, every sinner, every terrible rascal in the world is going to get in heaven before you because you're not seeing this thing. You're missing something. And so then I talked about last week about how that kind of is me all the time because I'm the first boy that says, you bet. I'm going to go do that. Or the second boy that said, I'm going to go do that. And then I get busy doing something and I don't get that done. And I think, well, God, you know me. You knew that was going to come up today. You know, I'm sorry I couldn't do what I said I was going to do. But anyway, you know me. You're cool with me, right? And he ain't. That's disobedience. And the first boy, too, it's disobedience for God to tell us to do something. And we go, no way. So there's no accommodation in that either. Even though maybe he went on, maybe I went on and got it done, but my disobedience showed up first. Both of them are tough scenarios that I live in personally. And so when I was reading this and I was working through this for weeks now, my struggle is, oh my goodness, how can I be so terrible all the time? What is going on with me? And then I read something that a guy said one time. Maybe he called it the 11th commandment. Observe the weekday and keep it holy. Meaning that why do we just show up on Sunday and we get all good? And then we screwed everything up all week long. We just walk out there talking about, you know me, Lord. You know I'm a wretch. I'm broken. I'm terrible about it. You know me. You're cool with me. I get it. And God is not. He is mad. He's mad that I'm disobedient. That I don't hold on to my word. That I don't stand where I say I'm going to. See, my living ought to equal me serving when it's crazy that the Father, who represents God, and the vineyard, who represents the world, that the Father even has to say, go on and go to work. It's mine. I'm a son. I inherit the whole thing. Why am I not encouraged to go develop that, work in that, and be there? It's my calling. It's your calling, child of God, saved, redeemed, called, elect. It's yours. Why do we so struggle to get out there and get to it, right? And so last week I said, we're going to have to figure out how we can maybe accomplish this a little bit. And so there's a psalm called the 119th Psalm. Psalm. Isn't that the weirdest word ever? Psalm. Psalm. But the 119th Psalm, I should have marked it down, marked the page, I didn't do either one. Anyway, it's super long, it's crazy, but I'm going to focus on this 105th verse. But I want you to know that from the beginning of this Psalm, This is a song, a rhyme, poetry that Israel used to always remember, to always focus. They did it all the time. Just like when we hear the Star Spangled Banner, we don't have to hear but one or two notes and we're all in on the song, right? And so they had all these songs and poems that would remind them and keep them focused. And in this 105th verse of this psalm, here's what the writer says. This is what God said. But here's what the writer said. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. I promised it once. I'll promise it again. I will obey your righteous regulations. I've suffered much, O Lord. Restore my life again as you promised, Lord. Accept my offering of praise and teach me your regulations. My life constantly hangs in the balance, but I will not stop obeying your instructions. The wicked have set a trap for me, but I'll not turn from your commandments. Your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delight. I am determined to keep your laws, to keep your decrees, to keep your commandments, to keep you first always to the end. And I'm going to tell you, the whole psalm is that kind of a reminder. All of the psalms are that kind of where we cry out, Lord, help me, save me, touch me, change me. Help. That's what all this is about. It's a way for us to kind of get it in our brain. But many of us hardly even know these psalms. We think it's Old Testament. I don't have to. It's irrelevant. I don't need. But the truth is, we do need to know them. It helps us. My radio station in the truck is always on a Christian station. And not because I hate the other music. Be honest with you, I can't allow that in me because it jacks me up. So I just leave it on that Christian station. So when my radio's on, it's either the baseball game or it's Christian radio. just because I know me. And if we start singing about all that immorality, I'm stuck in it. I'm stuck in it. So I just don't. But what I'm saying is we can have this in our wheelhouse, in our brain. We can use these psalms to keep us focused. And we should. In some way, shape, or form, we should. We should do something that helps us stay focused. Our life of faith should look like a life of obedience. And that really is the focus of what burdens me about Matthew 21 and the two boys. Because I'm both of them. I'm both of them. And I hate me for being that way. Have you ever had a good horse? Have you ever had a good dog? They come along. We'll probably always outlive them. But the thing that makes them what they are is they're willing. Their focus is on me. Every time I show up, that good horse, I spent so much time with him. It's not that I'm a horse trainer. It's that I liked him or her. I rode, I used, I touched. That horse was good because of all the time I spent. That good dog is the dog that you spend your life with, your days with. That's what makes that a good dog. And it is not any different whatsoever from what God is telling us in His book and in His Word. Go to work in the vineyard. Go out there, get busy, be all about it, and try to focus on Him. That 105th verse says, "Your word is a lamp to my face." If I'm going to see anything, I got to know it. I got to have the light of Your word illuminating my way. I got to use that thing. But if I don't know it, how could that possibly be a light? If I don't know it, if my only focus is, well, I heard a preacher say last week, that's not me knowing nothing. That's good English, knowing nothing. Me knowing nothing. I get better all the time. Here's the thing. I'm going to be real quick about this because I don't want to be too long, but there was a time in my misspent youth when I got in a world of trouble. It wasn't the first time, but it was the worst time. And my options were gone. And I thought, I'm going to call Dad. Because maybe Pop will help me out. But I'm going to be honest with you, I knew his answer. I knew he was going to tell me, that's going to suck. And he was going to do that because he knows that the way for me to know something is to do something. To live through. He knows if he bailed me out of that deal, I'm just going to get in that mess again. But I called, and I knew the answer, and he confirmed it. You know why I knew? Because I knew him. Is it any different with your wife or your husband? If you ask me, hey, man, what would your wife think? I don't have to go ask her much stuff. I know that woman. I know her. We're like this. I don't need to ask her or what she thinks about that. I know she doesn't like that. Should it be any different in our relationship with our Creator? See, that's what's going on in this parable. That's what's going on with Jesus. That's what He's reminding us. Why is it any different with our Heavenly Father, with our Creator, with the Almighty God, Creator, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God? Why is it different for us? But it is. We just think, well, it's just the way this stuff's supposed to go. And you know why it's different? Because I ain't very often eager to go to work in the vineyard, to go into the world and do what God's called me to do. You know what I wake up every day trying to do? What I want to do. And then I say, well, God, I'm going to try to do some stuff You want me to do in the bypass, in the process, in the kind of, if I can get to it. But first off, I'm going to do what I've decided I'm going to do. The job I've said I'm going to do, I'm going to do. Go to the places where I say I'm going to do. I'm going to get the things I say I'm going to get. I'm going to do. I'm going to, and I'm going to, and I'm going to. And I'm not about what God has called me to do. Go to work in the vineyard. Meaning that my gift, whatever it is that I do, is God's gift to me to do in the world. doesn't matter who you are, or where you are, or what you do, or what you don't do, if we do all things as unto the Lord, which is the mandate of Scripture, which is the cure for all of this stuff that I so struggle with, which is my biggest battle, is why do I take vacations from God? His Holy Spirit never leaves me, and I'm never at ease when I'm not doing the will of God. Oh, I can ignore it for a little bit, and I can move. I can pick up, and I can go, and I can travel like I want to, where I want to some. But God's always pecking at me, always. And I have to literally fight it. Can I say this? There's not been a person in the history of the world who ever smoked a cigarette, sucked that poison into your lungs, put a dip of snuff in your mouth, got all, and thought, that stuff is great. I can't wait to do this every day from here on out the rest of my days. We made ourselves get accustomed to that. Our bodies were telling us to stop it, and we overcame it. We fought through it until, if you open a box of snuff today, it smells like chocolate cake. It's poison. But we've made ourselves get accustomed to it because we're capable. We're so capable of doing some crazy great things. But here's the thing. We were talking about how we get in the will of God. How do we know the will of God? How we question, what's God's will for me? And we know what the basic stuff that God calls us to do is. We know, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, be good, love, give. We know those things, yet we focus on ourselves. You and I should every day, everywhere, all the time, be about our faith. But I take a vacation from my faith so I can go to work. And I make excuses about the reality, they tell me I can't, not at work. Or I shouldn't, or don't. Or, let's just be honest, I really don't think about it once I get going. I just get all about me, and pretty soon I'm all wrapped up in me, and my day's going just like I want to till I step in the mud hole. And then that's God pulling me by the collar, talking about, come on, man. We live in the same world, you and I. And if I want to understand God's will for my life, there's three things that I want to talk about today before we quit that help me. Maybe it'll help you. I just want to say, after reading these parables and being in the Scripture, I want to take a hold of something that helps me. Because it's super easy for me to show up on Sunday and be all about it. But observe the weekday and keep it holy is a literal commandment. If our life is about our faith, and our faith is about our life, then there's not a time where I can separate the two. I do, but there should not be. So what three things could I help myself with? Well, first, let me make it four, because the first thing I want to say is, you don't get a vacation. You do not need a vacation from God. You and I do not need any time away from the Holy Spirit of God, from the Word of God. You might say, I got to get away from work for a little while. I got to get away from my family a little while. I got to get away from these people a little while. I need to get out of here for a little while. There's one thing you don't never need. You don't never need. Another, I'm good at English. You don't never need to get away from God. There's not a minute in your life when you don't need to be focused on the will of God and what God's doing in your life. So number one thing, help us do that, is in verse 28 and 29 of Luke 21. The father says, go out and work in the vineyard today. To both boys, go work. Go work. There's not a thing that I'm doing that shouldn't be about the hope that I have, the faith that I have, the grace I've been given, the things that God... So go to work. The first thing that you and I need to recognize is to get into the vineyard, because we are surrounded by people who need to know and understand and grasp the hope that you and I have, this faith that you and I have been given. And the only way they're ever going to see that is if you and I recognize that we are the hands and feet of Jesus. It's true. God could just do it all by His Word. But He uses you and me. Not just me, not just a preacher or a pope or a priest, the three P's. He uses people, four P's. That just came to me. The thing is He is using us, all of us, your gifts, you, what you do, where you go, who you see. You're surrounded by people who need to know and understand and somehow grasp the hope that you have. So live like that. Be like that. Be about what God has done for you. See, the reality is our gifts reflect all of our actions and our words and everything. And so we get to choose how we share that with other people. And so we could get mad on the highway. We could get mad at work. We could get mad in the pasture. We could get mad at the pens. We could get mad at home. Or we could understand that even though I was dead in my sin, my God come and got me. Even though I was rebelling against God, there was not a single part of me that thought, oh, Lord, come save me. I was rebelling when God called me. He come and got me, and He come and got you. And if I recognize that, then other people can't jack that up. Other people can't mess that up. Other people can't do that. My calling is to care about people. When Jesus says, by this they will know you are my disciples, what was it He called that? Love. Care. And it ain't just words. It's doing something about that. To the least of us. To the people who are messy and broken. So number one, get out there in the vineyard. That's what this is about. Go to work. It doesn't mean go to your job. It means God has given you something, so get out there and do it. Share it. Give it away. Speak it out. Slow down and just listen to somebody. Oh, I don't have time. Well, then your job sucks. Change it. Because God has not called you to do something that you're not able to do. God has not called you to do something you're not able to do. So stop with the excuses about what I can and can't do. It's a choice that we make. For whatever reason you make it. I'm an excuse maker too. But here's the second thing. Number one, get out in the vineyard and go to work. And number two, all of our relationships. It doesn't matter if they're just your friends, your family. Doesn't matter if they're on Snap Face Chat, whatever book stuff. Doesn't matter where that is. Doesn't matter. All of our relationships go the same way. All of our relationships are about the same thing. Sharing this thing that we've been given. Sharing this hope. Sharing this love. Sharing this grace that we've been given. And to cooperate with God is the way that we accomplish that. By cooperating with God, we understand what He's saying. We understand His Word. We're in the Bible. We don't just see a Bible verse on Snap Face Chat somewhere and think, oh, that's enough devotion for me today. We open the book ourselves. We read. We want to know what was before, what was after. How did we get there? We want to know something about God, and there's only one way to understand and know God, through His Word. Oh, I don't read so well. Shut up. If God is only known through His Word, is it possible that you're too stupid to read? Is it possible? I've got a disability that keeps me from reading. There's a way for every single man, woman, and child to get a hold of God's Word. But you got to be willing to do it. We have to go out of our way to do it. And all of these relationships and all of this is how we're going to share this. The part that is such a struggle about how we live out in the world is we show up here for this hour on Sunday and we're great at it. We are good at it. We And at lunch, we're going to some more. I mean, we're just living. But you know what we've done? I hardly ever hear the F word in this building. Hardly ever. I hardly ever see the same mayhem that I see in that world in here. You know why? Because we choose to be different here. And then we walk back out there and we unchoose to be different. It's a choice. When we get out there, we just get our little vacation time away from God and we fall right back into it. I'm guilty. I'm just saying I'm all about this. And it's easy for us to be here in church, but out there in the vineyard, not so much. By choice. And I struggle with that just like you struggle like that. And we all feel like in obedience, I ain't going to miss a Sunday. I'm going to be good for this hour. Maybe this day, we'll just see which team wins that Super Bowl. See who really holds on to their faith. But at the end of the day, we're making a choice about how we're going to behave. How we are going to respond. How easy for it is to make the choice here. And we don't even think anything about it. It's natural for us. Man, we get in here and it's like, for most of us, there's some people that'll still kind of fall apart. But you know why that is? Because broken people do broken things. But you know, even then, when somebody will slip up, they immediately are apologetic. They are immediately repentant. They are immediately, whew, I know what I did right there. Not so in the world, is it? Not so in the world. The words we use, the things we do, the way we behave out there is so different than this by choice. That burdens me too. We got to get out there in the vineyard and get to work. That's where we got to start. And then recognize that all the relationships that you and I have all are about the same thing. Sharing this hope. My life should reveal the hope that I have. Oh, that doesn't mean I got to start quoting Bible verses all the time. And so people go, oh, there's Brett. I got to get away from that guy. What it ought to be like is, just like it was with Jesus, people loved to be around him. Even though he revealed their sin, even though he caused them to suffer inside, they wanted to be around him because he was a good guy. He was a fun guy. He was a nice guy. He went and he ate and he drank. They said, listen, Jesus himself said, listen, John the Baptist came and all he ever did was pray and kumbaya stuff. And you guys said, wow, that guy is insane. And then Jesus said, I show up, and you say, he's a drunk, and he eats with a bunch of sinners, and he's crazy. Neither one of them guys are right. And you know what? Both of those guys are right. We got to choose. So we got to get out there in the vineyard. We got to get out there in the world. We got to leave here, take this hour on Sunday, and make it a normal part of our life out there. And to do that, then we got to recognize that all the relationships that we see, that we enter into, all of them have the same goal, the same purpose, to share this hope that we have. And when we get good at that and we're confident we can just do that, our daily life is our normal, just like it is right here, because we've quit using some of that terrible language and stuff, then the third thing we got to do is remember that the God of creation is sovereignly in charge of everything. So number three, we got to learn to praise God for everything. Everything he's done, everything he ain't done, everything he's going to do. Which involves every single thing in our life. And just praise God for it. Because if I'm by myself and it's just me and that mare trotting across this country, I should be praising God for good horses, for good dogs and good cattle, open country. I should praise God no matter what I'm doing, where I'm at, and how it's going. It should be normal for me to think, thank you, Jesus. We got to figure out how we can do this and how we can celebrate him and how we can stop being embarrassed by our by our faith, by my effort to be holy, by my calling in my life, the thing that God has given me. I got to quit being embarrassed to share that, to give that, to show that. It should become normal for me to be out there like I am in here. The biggest struggle we have is our normal is out there. Ours, mine too. So this parable tells me how to solve the uncertainty and the selfishness and the fear in my life. Go to work. Get out there in the vineyard. That solves everything. Because I'm always good when I'm here. I'm always good when I'm here. Even if it's bad out there, I'm good in here. So I should take this out there. It solves a lot of stuff. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 2, I want you to see this in Philippians 2. Philippians is a little one-horse town called Philippi. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. He says, hey friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. If you head out into the vineyard, if you're willing to go to work, if you're willing to take the next right step, if you'll begin the process, right? And I want to say that Jesus is our great example of that, because you all know the story of the cross. So when Jesus, before the cross, was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't pray. He was not praying, Lord, what is your will? What should I be doing? Jesus was praying for the strength, for the courage, the perseverance to do what he knew God wanted him to do, go to the cross. He knew what God wanted him to do. What he needed was the strength to do that. But you and I, to get away from getting involved in that, we say, I don't know what your will is, Lord. I don't know what you want me to do. Yes, I do, but I don't want to. And so I say, oh, listen, is there any other, could it be, how about changing something? Truth is, Paul was pretty smart. And he knew because it had changed him. He knew because it was so different for him. And he wrote in Romans chapter 12. He wrote something. Paul had been moved. He was a murderous rascal in his life. And God had changed him so dramatically that he never looked back. And in Romans chapter 12, and he's writing to those Roman folk, he said, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he's done for you. Let your bodies be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that God is going to find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Well, the few minutes we stand in here and sing and praise God is one way we worship. But what did he say is truly the way to worship him? And then two, he said, don't copy the behavior, the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll know what God's will is. Then you'll learn to know what God's will is. Then you'll understand what God's will is. God's good and perfect and pleasing will for your life. We got to get in the vineyard and go to work. We got to start seeing what our new normal is. In Romans 11, just right above 12 right there in 36, Paul tells us everything comes from God and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever, ever, ever. Amen. All things. What you're doing now, what you've done, where you're going. Everything belongs to God. He is working in everything. And I was reminded of one more verse in 1 Corinthians 15 that I want to share before we trot out of here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All the way to the end in 58. Paul said, so brothers, sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing that you'll ever do for the Lord is ever useless. Nothing. But we got to be about it. Not this hour on Sunday. Let's go find out what our new normal is. What Christianity is supposed to be. Pray with me. Lord, my greatest desire is to be a follower of you. Like your son Jesus was a follower of you. My greatest desire is to give all that I have in service to you. And then I let my flesh and my brokenness overwhelm me as I try to hold on to the things that I think are important to me. And all the while, I'm reminded that everything belongs to you. The cattle on a thousand hills, everything I do, everything I say, that you're in sovereign control of everything. And somehow I feel like I got to get a vacation from you. I got to get away from you because you are holy and righteous and I ain't, and I'm scared. And so it's easy for me to ignore you sometimes. And I hate that about me. And so, Lord, as I study your word and as I let your word dwell in me, and I'm convicted and I'm stung and I'm whipped by the truth that you've never done anything but love me and do for me. And pretty much I've never done anything but fight you. This morning, we, your church, it's our prayer that we would take this time and it would become a normal for all time. It's our prayer, Lord, that we would observe all days and keep them holy. It's our prayer that the men and the women and the children that we meet, that we raise, that we run with, that we would invest and share time and speak truth and love and light into their lives. That our normal would be to hope. My King, it is by your grace, your power, and your mercy that we are here. By your atoning death on the cross that we're forgiven. But Lord, the truth is that you walked out of that grave alive to give us new life. Lord, let these things overwhelm us, change us and move us, and be transformed by your word. Thank you for these. In the name of Jesus, on the very authority of your son, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I weighed my burden down. I feel better, so much better. Since I laid my burdens down, I feel better, so much better. Since I laid my burden down, well, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down.